This is the TTY Dialer, show number 13 for the week of January 16th through January 21st. Hi, I'm Mark Levonier, and this is your weekly companion to the old-time radio show heard on WRPO Public Media called Tune to Yesterday. Every night of the week, I bring you golden age of radio mystery, drama, comedy, horror, westerns, and much more that you can hear from 10 to midnight or whenever you like at WRVO.org. This podcast brings you a blend of radio history, fun with sound from radio's past, and a look at the shows coming up for the week on Tune to Yesterday. And before we get into that, a quick question for you.
You boys and girls are practical, aren't you? You know that you'll undoubtedly have to take nose drops several times this winter. So why shouldn't they be pleasant nose drops as long as you can get them? Groves emulsified nose drops do not irritate you. They're nice to take. It's almost like mother putting a little fresh cream up your nose, and you certainly wouldn't object to that, would you? Moreover, and this is what will interest mother, Groves emulsified nose drops quickly check head and nose goals. Results are much faster than with the old type nose drops. But let a trial prove that to you. Ask mother to get a bottle in the house today.
That commercial, part of a syndicated series of a character known to thousands of kids from comic strips and later the movies, Flash Gordon.
Come with us every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at this same time for further interplanetary adventures with Flash Gordon.
The sci-fi fantasy show didn't have a long run on radio, but it did lead to another well-known radio series with a comic tie-in. During the last radio broadcasts of Flash Gordon in 1936, the same year his first movie was in theaters with Buster Crabbe, his ship crash-landed in a jungle, and he was rescued by none other than Jim Bradley, better known as Jungle Jim, which would end up having a lasting radio run through the mid-1950s, producing hundreds of episodes. And around the same time that the Grove Laboratories Company was sponsoring Flash Gordon, they also hopped on the bandwagon of sponsors with their bromoquinine product for radio commentator Gabriel Heater's show, when he was on the air three times a day covering the kidnapping and murder trial of Bruno Richard Hauptmann. At the time, it was called the Trial of the Century because he was convicted of kidnapping and killing aviator Charles Lindbergh's baby. As for Grove's emulsified nose drops, they would be summoned to the court as well on a much less serious charge, with a case brought against them by the Food and Drug Administration in 1940 when they were accused of having deceptive packaging, where the bottle and dropper of the nose drops was found to be significantly smaller than the box it came in, essentially fooling consumers to think that there was more in the package. After no one from Grove Laboratories answered for that claim, the eight dozen or so packages in question were destroyed. Coming up this Monday on Tune to Yesterday at 10 o'clock, the NBC University Theater brings us a great adaptation of The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn.
I expect you're a runaway apprentice. Now, tell me about it.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I run off from the farmer I was bound to. They beat me something awful. I've been traveling 3 days.
You're a farm boy, eh?
That's right.
Quick, when a cow gets up, which end gets up first?
Hind end, mum.
A horse?
Forward end.
Which side of the tree does the moss grow on? Fast now.
North side.
If 15 cows is browsing on a hillside, how many eats with their heads pointed the same way?
The whole 15, mum.
Country boy, all right. Now, what's your real name?
George Peters, ma'am.
Well, remember it, George. Don't be telling me it's Alexander later.
It's George, ma'am.
And don't try to fool a woman in that dress. And mind you, when a girl catches anything in her lap, she throws her knees apart to spread her skirt. She don't clap them together the way you did to catch that yarn. Now, trot along, Sarah, Mary, Williams, George, Alexander, and keep out of trouble.
At 11 o'clock this Monday night, it's episodes of Romance from the show Romance and the Academy Award Theater, boiling down the movie Hold Back the Dawn from 1946. This Tuesday, January 17th at 10 p.m., it's comedy from Judy Canova, then the Milton Berle Show with a salute to prize fighting from 1947, and we wrap up Tuesday night with westerns with episodes of Have Gun, Will Travel and Jimmy Stewart as the six-shooter. Tune in to these programs Monday and Tuesday night, January 16th and 17th, between 10 and midnight, on the air on WRVO, or streaming live online at WRVO.org. This Wednesday, January 18th in 1892, Oliver Hardy was born in Harlem, Georgia. He would go on to become one of comedy's biggest stars of silent and talkie films alongside his partner, Stan Laurel. Oliver, often credited as Babe Hardy, was acting in films as early as 1914 in bit parts, but it wasn't until the later 1920s with his partnership of Laurel and Hardy that his on-screen career soared with movies like Babes in Toyland and The Flying Deuces. Hardy played a roly-poly know-it-all who was easily incensed when things went wrong with Stan Laurel, his thin, airheaded partner, who were practically an instant success. They were very visual comedians, but their voices alone were unique and memorable as well, and there was an effort to bring the pair to radio in 1944. NBC recorded an audition of the Laurel and Hardy Show on March 6th of that year.
The National Broadcasting Company presents the Laurel and Hardy Show.
The network put the pair in a sitcom-style format with a live audience and capitalized on the miscommunication that comes with that comedic territory, like in the scene where they were confused with being mobsters when they were in fact working for a poultry market slaughtering chickens.
Yeah, touchy guys is never going to get here.
We never disappoint a customer.
Well, our motto is...
Be still, Stanley.
I guess we don't use our motto anymore, you see.
Hey, Mike, pull down that shade. Okay. Want to get these guys away? Now, remember, you guys, first you make the delivery, and then later you get the payoff.
Now, just one moment. There'll be no delivery until you pay the money.
Now, wait a minute. We always get delivery and pay later.
Oh, no, none of that. No, no. No credit. No, no. Oh, no, you don't. No, no, no.
God bless you.
Oh, no.
You mean no.
N-O, no.
Will you keep quiet, Stanley?
But those were the chief's instructions.
The chief?
Yeah, I guess that's what they call the man who's going to pay us the money.
Yeah, that's right. We don't use names in deals like this.
Where is the chief?
Oh, he'll be here, just as agreed. First, you got to deliver the goods.
Well, that's why we're here.
You mean you killed that bird already? Sure, about an hour ago. How do you like that?
You guys sure move fast. The chief didn't expect you to work that quick.
If I ain't too inquisitive, how do you pros work? Do you kill them with a regular 45 rod?
Oh, no, sir. On this one, we use the standard 14-inch butcher knife.
Butcher knife? Don't they put up a fight?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes they put up a terrible struggle.
Hey, what do you do then?
Ollie holds them by the feet.
By the feet?
Yeah. And then Stanley takes the axe and chops off the head.
Chops off the head?
Relax. Sure, we try to be as gentle as possible.
But ain't that kind of gruesome?
Oh, after a while, you get used to it. It doesn't mean a thing to us now, does it, Stanley?
I should say not. You know, we kill as many as 24 a day.
The series was never picked up for a regular show, but before they were brought behind the mics to prove themselves for that full-time gig, they made occasional guest appearances on some national shows, but when on air, they were heard mainly on what's known as an air trailer, basically an advertisement for some of the films that they starred in. All in all, the length of audio tape of Laurel and Hardy is a lot shorter than their canisters of video reels that exist, but one promotional bit they sent to the BBC ahead of their European tour in the later 1940s to promote their London shows seems to really translate who they were on screen very well on radio.
Now, let's see where I was. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, this is Oliver Hardy speaking. I'm taking this opportunity of thanking you and the countless friends in the British Isles for the wonderfully wholehearted reception you have given me on my first visit to your beautiful country.
Ollie.
What?
Speak up.
What for?
I can't hear you.
Well, if you'll get that egg down, you'll be able to hear me much better.
I just did get the egg down.
What'd you do with the eggshell?
What eggshell?
Don't tell me you've eaten the egg with the shell on it.
Well, I didn't know. You didn't tell me anything about it. You don't happen to have another one, do you?
No, I haven't.
Have you got any nuts?
No, I haven't got any nuts.
Well, what'd you do with those we brought in New York?
Oh, I left them in my wardrobe trunk.
Where is your trunk? Maybe we could go get them.
Oh, that reminds me. Where is my trunk? I haven't seen it for several days.
Have you felt in all your pockets?
Now, that's a good idea. I'll take a look. What do you mean, have I felt in all my pockets? Will you please stop annoying me while I make this speech?
No, I'm not annoying you. I'm not doing
now,
anything.
Now, keep quiet.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Stop wiggling your tie.
What do you mean, stop wiggling my tie?
Well, every time you get fancy, you start wiggling your tie, and it looks silly.
If you interrupt me again, I'll wiggle you. What are you crying for?
I don't want to be wiggled.
Pardon me, ladies and gentlemen. I wish to speak to my friend privately. What are you trying to do? Spoil my speech?
No, that's impossible.
You bet your life it's impossible.
That's the first time you've agreed with me, Ollie.
Oh, you're getting sarcastic, huh?
No, I'm not.
Well, just for that, you make a speech.
I don't want to make a speech.
Oh, yes, you will make a speech.
I don't know anything about it.
Go ahead.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen.
With your hat off.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Pardon. Ladies and gentlemen, with your hat off.
Oh, you don't say that.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, without your hat off.
Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, you'll never know how happy we are to be here with you tonight in Chicago, America.
Oh.
It's the first...
We're in London, you fool. London.
Well, I didn't know. I've been traveling to so many places, I wasn't quite sure just where we were.
Well, go ahead. It won't make any difference anyway.
So this is London, eh?
Yes, London.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm
you
so...
You said that once.
All right. I'm so happy to be here with you tonight in London, Scotland.
No,
I love...
that's done it. No more speeches.
What do you mean, no more speeches? We've got to do something.
All right. Maybe I can sing a little song.
That's a good idea. Oh, say, that reminds me.
What?
I wish I brought my piano with me from America.
You don't have to bring a piano all the way from America. There's plenty here.
I know, but I wish I'd brought mine.
Now, why in your wildest dreams do you wish you'd brought your piano with you?
Well, you won't be mad at me if I tell you, will you?
Oh, no. You know I couldn't really get mad with you.
No, I'd rather not tell you. I'd rather...
Oh,
no, I'd rather...
Come on, now. Why do you wish that you'd brought your piano with you?
Well, I left our return tickets lying on top. I couldn't...
This Wednesday night on Tune to Yesterday, we open with an hour of drama. Again, another episode of the Prestige Show in the NBC University Theater with Monsieur Vincent from 1950. Then it's Crime. Vincent Price stars as the Saint. Then it's Counterspy from 1949. And this Thursday night at 10 o'clock, it's Mystery from episodes of Broadway Is My Beat. Then Science Fiction from X-1, and a show that was very hard to find in our archive, the CBS Radio Workshop, with the Green Hills of Earth.
This is the story of Riesling. Riesling, no first name, no middle initial. By vocation, he was one of the best jet men who ever worked as crew aboard the early cargo rockets that supplied the planets deep in outer space. His avocation? Well, anyone born in the 21st century, I'm sure, has quoted his poems, sung his songs. Even with luck, heard him singing them himself in some wind-torn, forsaken tavern on the borders of a spaceport, somewhere out there, beyond the stars.
That particular episode really strikes a chord with me in terms of working with the Ellen Robinson Memorial Library of Old Time Radio at WRVO. One of the tapes was mislabeled, so I thought it might have been in another part of the collection, and about four tapes later and a lot of listening, I was able to find the broadcast, but it really was a trying couple of days to round that up. The collection here at WRVO is pretty vast. It's about 15,000 broadcasts large, and it's split up in a couple of different ways. We have the Ellen Robinson part, which started it all back in the 1970s. We also have the Ted Nettleton part of the collection, which has some real gems in it. And the Ron Zollweg collection, which actually contains recordings of our old-time radio show from the 80s, which is pretty neat to listen back to from time to time. And there is still yet another part of the collection. We used to air these shows live on the air, as in right off of the reel-to-reel tape. And many of the tapes that were donated, if not all of them, were all four-track. Basically, you have two sides of a tape, and you have the left channel for one stream of audio and the right channel for the other, essentially giving a tape four sides. So for ease of operations for many interns at the time who used to play these reels back, We converted a lot of those four-track tapes to the two-track tapes for airplay, so there's duplicates. But you know what? According to the National Archives, that's the best way to preserve audio, is just keep making copies and the best generation you know how. So in a way, that folds into that conscious preservation effort that we're taking part of, along with others across the country. Although many of these shows, if not most of them, you can find online. Really, with collectors, it's about quantity rather than quality, and the fact that we have the tapes on an organic material, which is audio tape first, and not a compressed electronic version, it really plays to our advantage in terms of sound quality, or at least a truer sense of what these shows sounded like. And we have to remember, too, that many of these programs were heard first on AM stations, and people tuning in, there was a lot of static, so to get a decent copy of a show is a real treat, I hope, for you as much as it is for me. This Thursday, January 19th in 1937, one of aviation's famous pioneers broke yet another airspeed record. Aviator and film producer Howard Hughes flew from California to New York in just under 7.5 hours, which set a record for speed and a precedent for future modern flight. Just a year earlier, in January of 1936, he established the fastest flying time across the country. He flew from Burbank, California to Newark, New Jersey in 9.5 hours, which beat out the previous record by 30 minutes. In the next year, Hughes feverishly prepared for what would be his redesigned H-1 Racer aircraft, nicknamed the Winged Bullet, which would break the transcontinental speed record. So as you may be aware, especially with the Scorsese film, the life and times of Howard Hughes are bombastic and impressive, at times pitiful and certainly mysterious. And whatever the case, he still pushed the boundaries of what people could do in the sky and was truly a pioneer in the field of aviation. Now let's hear a moment with Hughes speaking to the media on radio on July 20th, 1938, just 10 days after he broke a speed record for a transglobal flight, flying around the world in just 91 hours.
I'm going to try to speak this afternoon about the future of aviation, because it is only the future in which I am really vitally interested. Just before we took off from Floyd Bennett Field 10 days ago, a woman ran out to the plane and stuck a piece of chewing gum on the tail. According to a long-standing superstition, this is supposed to bring good luck. Now, this piece of chewing gum went around the world with us, returned to Floyd Bennett Field. Whether its owner retrieved it or not, I do not know. Furthermore, I do not know how much it had to do with our getting back safely. But I do know that luck played a part in this flight, considerably more of a part than I had hoped it would play. But let me say this in that connection, that the time when luck played the greatest part was owing to an error in judgment on my part. And it certainly played no part in the navigation of the plane, which was beyond reproach. But today I want to speak about the time toward which I look, when the word luck and everything that goes with it will have no place in any phase of flying. When aviation will have found its rightful position among the other precise and scientific developments of the age, such as industrial chemistry, the electric light and the telephone, a useful tool bent and controlled by man to do his exact bidding. I look ahead to the day when you will lean out of a New York skyscraper window and see a great ship, perhaps not as large as the Queen Mary, but larger than some of the ships plying the Atlantic today.
Howard Hughes from 1938. This Friday night on Tune to Yesterday at 10 o'clock, it's actually my birthday, and I mention this because I'm finally turning the age that Jack Benny forever was, 39. It's an hour of sitcoms first, The Aldrich Family, then our Miss Brooks, then horror from episodes of The Hermit's Cave, and suspense bringing us their famous scare tale, On a Country Road.
David, I'm just sure this is the road where that woman killed those two people.
Oh, now, stop that, Dorothy.
That's why the police had a roadblock by this road. crazy woman might be any place in these woods.
But not necessarily where we are. Oh.
David, what's the matter?
Oh, that's fine. What a place to run out of gas.
Oh, no!
This Saturday night at 10 o'clock, January 21st, it's broadcasts of The Weird Circle and Escape for another hour of horror. Then a variety program, it's the March of Dimes special, hosted by Eddie Cantor from 1944. You can hear these shows this Friday, January 20th, and Saturday, January 21st, from 10 to midnight on the air, or again online at our website, wrvo.org. And that's it for this week's podcast of the TTY Dialer. I'll be back next week with more old-time radio history and a look at the schedule, and maybe some more musings about the collection we have here as well. There are actually a lot of stories to tell, and me on my hands and knees in the dust amongst the old-time radio reels. If you have any questions or comments about old-time radio, Tuned to Yesterday, or this TTY Dialer podcast, just email me, mark at wrvo.org. That's M-A-R-K at wrvo.org. Till next week, thanks again for listening.